Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Maharaj Yudhisthira was intelligent enough to understand the influence of the age of Kali, characterized by increasing avarice, falsehood, cheating and violence throughout the capital, state, home and among individuals. So he wisely prepared himself to leave home, and he dressed accordingly. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The present age is influenced by the specific qualities of Kali. Since the days of the Battle of Kurukshetra, about 5,000 years ago, the influence of the age of Kali began manifesting. And from authentic scriptures, it is learned that the age of Kali is still to run on for 427,000 years. The symptoms of the Kali Yuga, as mentioned above, namely avarice, falsehood, diplomacy, cheating, nepotism, violence, and all such things are already in vogue. And no one can imagine what is going to happen gradually with further increase of the influence of Kali till the day of annihilation. We have already come to know that the influence of the age of Kali is meant for godless so-called civilized man. Those who are under the protection of the Lord have nothing to fear from this horrible age. Maharaj Yudhisthira was a great devotee of the Lord, and there was no necessity of his being afraid of the age of Kali. But he preferred to retire from active household life and prepare himself to go back home, back to Godhead. The Pandavas are eternal companions of the Lord, and therefore they are more interested in the company of the Lord than anything else. Beside that, being an ideal king, Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted to retire just to set an example for others. As soon as there is some young fellow to look after the household affairs, one should at once retire from family life to uplift oneself to spiritual realization. One should not rot in the dark well of household life till one is dragged out by the will of Yamaraj. Modern politicians should take lessons from Maharaj Yudhisthira about voluntary retirement from active life and should make room for the younger generation. Also, retired old gentlemen should take lessons from him and leave home for spiritual realization before forcefully dragged away to meet death. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshum Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Padastate Tatarane Yudhisthirastat Parisapanam Buddha Pure Charastre Chagrihe Tatatmani Vibhavyalo bhamrita jima himsanadi adharma chakram gamanaya paryadat. Maharaj Yudhisthira was intelligent enough to understand the influence of the age of Kali, characterized by increasing avarice, falsehood, cheating and violence throughout the capital, state, home and among individuals. So he wisely prepared himself to leave home and he dressed accordingly. So Maharaj Yudhisthira dressed accordingly. He gave up his kingly apparel. It was for the purpose of being a king. He would dress very opulently. But for giving up, regular household life, or giving up his kingdom, it's not appropriate. So therefore, he dressed down. He didn't dress up, he dressed down. And he gave up his kingly apparel. So at some point we have to give up. We have to give up trying to look good. It's not good for us to try to look good. of course, especially for the men, ladies are allowed to look a little good. They're allowed to look good for the sake of pleasing Krishna, just like the gopis. They try to look as beautiful as they can for Krishna's pleasure, not for their own false prestige, for their own ego. Not so they can look in the mirror or they can walk up and down the catwalk and everybody can admire them. No, just for Krishna's pleasure. And when Krishna is pleased, then they become pleased. So there's a three main points in this purport which I identified. One is about the symptoms of Kali Yuga. So we heard a graphic description last Friday from Sutta Prabhu about Kali Yuga. So I think we're pretty well convinced that Kali Yuga's progressing and it's pretty horrendous. And we don't really want to hang around too long in Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada is naming here some of the characteristics. Avarice. Avarice is just a kind of poetic word for greed. It means to want to accumulate more than necessary, especially money, and then wealth, and then hide it away. Like, anybody know about Scrooge? Who knows about Scrooge? Only, yeah, you know about Scrooge. He was a character. Charles Dickens character, and he was known for being mean, and then he had an experience. He was being very mean, and then I think a ghost came to him, something like that, and told him his fortune. In other words, he's going to go to hell, basically. Unless he reforms himself. So he was so frightened by this that he decided that he would reform himself. And he started giving money away, giving charity. And then he became happy. Before, he was completely miserable. And then when he started giving all his wealth away, he became happy. So that's avarice. We have to give it up. Falsehood. So, was it Sutapa was saying about how come truth is the one leg? Was it in your class you were talking about? Truth is, how is it that truth is still existing in Kali Yuga? It doesn't seem to be, actually, especially if you follow the news. but I think you were saying that it was the absolute truth is available in the Srimad Bhagavatam, yeah? Something like that. Diplomacy. Well, diplomacy is just being clever so you can get your way. So not being simple or straightforward, which is what we're recommended to be, simple and straightforward. but being devious, basically, diplomacy means to be devious. So that seems to be definitely present. Cheating, the teachers are cheaters, Srila Prabhupada said, because they're not actually following. Nepotism. Does everybody know what nepotism means? You don't know what nepotism means? It means favoritism, favoring your own family. Actually, there's an example. Of course, Dhritarashtra, he was engaged in nepotism, really. He was favoring his side of the family over the Pandavas, when he really should have been equal towards them both. But there's a modern example, actually, a current example right now, and that is in America. Because a lot of the staff in the White House are, in fact, family members, Trump family members. So this is kind of nepotism. He's giving jobs to the boys, his own family, not just boys, and girls as well, like his daughter and son-in-law. So that's nepotism. Nepotism means over and above merit, giving a job or a paid employment to somebody that you favor, especially family members. That's nepotism. So that's very rife in this day and age, just looking after oneself and one's own family. Violence, well, of course, we heard graphic description of 9/11 on Friday. So that point has been proved. I don't think we need to go into it anymore. But yeah, violence, I mean, was it last weekend in Birmingham? Or anyway, very recently in Birmingham, maybe you didn't hear about it, but this is why it's good to at least keep up with the headlines in the news. A knife man ran amok in Birmingham and stabbed like 7 people. At least one person died as a result of that. Just innocent people on the street. So this kind of thing is happening all the time, especially in America. In schools, somebody will go in with a gun and just start shooting. Seems to happen in schools, yeah, quite a bit for some reason. I don't know. but also in New Zealand that happened. There was a massacre of Muslims who were attending the mosque a year or two back. And many tens of people were killed by this. And all such things are already in vogue. Do you know what it means? In vogue? Anybody not know what that means? In vogue? It means fashionable, yeah. It's the current thing now. So all these things are in vogue. Like there's a magazine called, well, it was anyway, I don't know if it still is, a magazine called Vogue, which basically means fashion. So everybody, especially ladies, are very much into fashion. So the fashion is, or the vogue, in what's in vogue is all these things: avarice, falsehood, diplomacy, cheating, nepotism, violence, and many, many other things which we could enumerate if we chose to. But rather than concentrate on that, since we did have a graphic class on that subject on Friday, I wanted to concentrate more on what Srila Prabhupada says in the next sentence, or at the end of the next sentence. Those who are under the protection of the Lord have nothing to fear from this horrible age. Those who are under the protection of the Lord have nothing to fear from this horrible age. So that seems to me to be a good point to try to speak about. So there's one, get my shloka book. I've taken inspiration from Godruma Prabhu, who likes to have his shloka book and then just go through a few verses. So there's one nice verse which I thought we could meditate on. Narayana para sarve nakutascha nabibhyati svaga pavaga narakeshu apituryata dashinaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. Why? Why are they all the same? Ladies, any ideas? Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For... a little bit more precise? Can you be a bit more precise? Anybody from the men's side also? No, that's another Ante Narayana Smriti. Yes, that's an earlier verse. No, what Lord Shiva is saying is, for such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. I mean, basically you got it right, but but that's their only interest. They have no personal interest, no selfish interest. Their interest is only in the service of the Lord. And therefore, it doesn't matter to them, because you can serve Krishna anywhere, anytime, anywhere, any circumstances. It doesn't matter. You can serve him. So this is what we need to strive for, to be interested. Actually, of course, devotees are not interested only in just the service of the Lord. They're actually interested in serving him so that he becomes pleased. But it's not expressed by Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva was instructing... who was he instructing? Parvati, yeah. Excuse me. Lord Shiva was instructing his wife, Parvati. Why? Oh, excuse me. Because Parvati had just cursed King Chitraketu. How could you do such a thing? Cursed a devotee, King Chitraketu. Sorry. Chitraketu, at this point, he was actually a great devotee. He'd received a mantra. A mantra of Sankarshan, yeah? And within a week, I believe, he actually became self-realized. He was given it by Narad Muni, I believe. But anyway, inconceivably, he was touring the universe in his airplanes. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gauranitai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. He was touring the universe with many ladies. And at some point, he happened to fly past Lord Shiva, who was sitting with Parvati on his lap. And not only was he sitting with Parvati on his lap, but he was actually lecturing to some sadhus, austere sadhus. And I believe he was actually talking about renunciation as well. So, as we found it funny, Chitraketu Maharaj, he also found it funny that this situation was just funny. So he laughed. And apparently there was a little bit of pride in him. So he actually advised he said to Lord Shiva, I don't know if this is quite becoming. You know, you're doing this, and you know, other people might misunderstand. Actually, he was thinking in terms of, he didn't want Lord Shiva to be blasphemed. So he had good intentions, but there was still that little bit of pride by which he felt that he could advise Lord Shiva. Actually, none of the sadhus present were at all bothered by this situation because they knew, actually, the character of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is actually completely renounced. And the fact that he has Parvati on his lap has no bearing at all. He's not enjoying with Parvati. I mean, it was all the Lord's arrangement. But Parvati, Lord Shiva actually didn't mind King Chitraketu saying anything to him about this situation. He was equipoise, no problem. You can say this, yeah. But Parvati became enraged. She was not happy at all. How? And you can understand that. I mean, I think there's only, there's two married ladies there. But if you had a very dear husband and you felt that he'd been blasphemed in some way, maybe you might also curse. Of course, you may not have the power of Parvati. I don't know. hopefully not. So she became enraged and she cursed him to become a demon. And how did King Chitraketu react? Completely equipoised. No problem. Dear Mataji, if that's what you will, I'm happy to accept your will. If you want to curse me, curse me. And because he knew actually it was all Krishna's arrangement. Probably the fact that she was sitting on Shiva's lap, the fact that she became enraged, the fact that Maharaj Chitraketu just happened to pass by and see this situation was all Krishna's arrangement. And he knew that, actually. He was confident that nothing happens without Krishna's will. So he accepted it. No problem. Yes, it must be good. If Krishna has made this arrangement, it must be for my benefit. So he said, okay, no problem. But Lord Shiva, he took it as an opportunity to glorify the devotees. And so he said, just see the qualities of a devotee. How equipoised, how renounced, how wonderful are the qualities of a devotee. He can even be cursed. And there's no question, Parvati had the power. Our modern-day ladies may not have, but she definitely has the power to curse and send somebody to hell. In fact, she's doing that all the time. When we've been exiled from the spiritual world, we are exiles from the spiritual world. Like those geese, they've been exiled, and we should make sure they never return. But so Lord Shiva was speaking this verse to glorify the devotees and the qualities of a devotee. So, of course, we know what happened. Chitraketu Maharaj became Vritrasura. And Vritrasura, he had many wonderful qualities, actually, even though he's in a body of a demon. So this is also instructive, that actually, even if we are, we were born in not so favorable circumstances, most of us. Some of us may have been, actually, from a fairly pious background. But most of us, especially those from the West, from Western families, we are more like demons, brought up like demons. But Krishna is so merciful Just like Uddhava said to Vidura, Aho bhakiyam stana kala kutam jigam shaya payayat apya sadvi lebegatam datrutitam tatonyam kamvadayalam sharanam vrajema. He says, alas, alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. So Krishna is so merciful, even if there's a very tiny speck of affection or devotion or service to Krishna, he will accept that and disregard the rest. Which is what he did with Putana. She actually offered her breast milk to Krishna. She came as a nurse. So Krishna accepted that. And therefore she was purified and she got the position of a mother in the spiritual world. How merciful is Krishna? Of course, hopefully we're not on that level of Putana. But there's another couple of verses which I find very interesting. They're actually spoken by Lord Kapila to Devahuti. Devahuti is also one of the great ladies of Srimad Bhagavatam. He said to her, Yanamadeya Shravananu Kirtanad Yad Pravanad Yat Smaranada Pikvachit Svaropi Sadya Savanaya Kalpate Kuta Punaste Bhagavan Nudarshanat. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face. Even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. So we may say, I wasn't born in a family of dog eaters. Anybody here was born in a family of dog eaters? No. But we may have been born in the family of cow eaters, and that is actually much worse. Dog eaters is actually quite elevated compared to cow eaters. So in Vedic culture, actually this is Devahuti speaking, not Lord Kapila. So she's considering, it doesn't even come into the reckoning cow killing or cow eating. She's just thinking dog eaters, that's the lowest of the low. But we have actually, I was born in a family of cow eaters, much worse than dog eaters. But still, if one utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even once, just chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him, that person becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. So this is a very important verse, actually. And it's more or less, she repeats the same thing in the next verse, which I'll also quote, and then we'll finish. She says, Aho batasva pachoto gariyan yajiva grevatate namatubhyam tepustapaste juhuvu sashno arya brahmanucho namagrinanti yete. Oh, how glorious are those whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in the families of dog eaters, again, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas and fulfilled everything required. So, chanting the holy name qualifies us for the highest destination, going back home, back to the spiritual world. And in the meantime, to be able to serve and worship Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Gauri Thai. We should engage in pure devotional service as far as we are capable, and actually receive the great benefit of doing so. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? Yes.
One thing that occurred to me as you were going through the character of a person or a pure devotee. I remember it was commented about Mother Kalangana that actually her personal life was no different from her whatever she was doing. It was always the same. There was no difference between personal and devotional life. They were one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were just reflected her character. She was constantly thinking
that's
of
being,
her service.
That's being simple and straightforward,
yeah.
Isn't it? No,
yeah.
No artifice, no
yeah.
deviousness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whilst the you have the mic, maybe any ladies have any comments or questions? Since it's over that, no? Okay. Anybody else? Any comments or questions? Or Rasavash? Krishna?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. The question arose when you mentioned that we were banished from the spiritual world. It's sometimes confusing to me when devotees ask me the same question. Well, the question is that, you know, how can we be banished from the spiritual world when Srila Prabhupada says that if we're in Golok Vrindavan or if we've reached that abode, depending on where in the spiritual world it is, we can't fall down.
Well, so. we had a class on this subject, more or less, before you arrived. Basically, there's a... because time doesn't exist as we know it in the spiritual world, when we go back to the spiritual world, we've never left. I can give you a reference for that. So, in the material world, it seems like a long time to us. But time doesn't exist as we know it in the spiritual world. So it's as though we never left. Anyway, there's a whole... I can refer you to the... There's an article by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu where he explains all that in more detail. But we haven't got time for it now. Nor do I probably remember everything, so...
Thank you.
Maybe somebody else does. I don't know. Maybe Sutapa remembers. What? So, yeah.
It was. Thank you for that. That's actually very interesting. It was more to the point of how can we have been banished from the spiritual world, regardless of time consideration.
Well, we've not been. We've exiled ourselves. We're like those geese flew away. They flew away of their own accord. Of course, they have instincts which tell them to do that. For some reason, I mean, they don't know their real self interest. Those geese, except for one. He may have a broken wing, but still, he's somehow or other it's arranged that he should stay here. So he's very. So we've exiled ourselves, banished ourselves. We haven't. We're never exiled or banished by anybody else. Well, I mean, of course, there's an arrangement made for us, but because we have that desire. Does that address the point, or not?
Mentioned that we can't fall down from Golok Vrindavan if we were there. Some devotees mention that spiritual world means Golok Vrindavan, and they comment on the verse saying that we can't fall down from Golok Vrindavan because we know everything. We know how the material world works and everything. You know, we have love for Krishna if we're in Golok Vrindavan anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So how could we possibly exile ourselves knowing where we are?
We have free will. We have independence. It's not our place really to speculate too much how we've landed up in the soup here, but we have. our role is to actually try to get back. That's more important than how we actually fell. Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. My question is, if we can, if we go, if we achieve the spiritual goal, can we fall down again?
Well, no. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that tad dharma na nivatate, something like that. That once we go back, there's no return. But we never left anyway. So there, like that.
Hare Krishna. I know it was just in response to what Rasraj Prabhu was speaking on, and you were mentioning about being banished. One devotee mentioned that it's when we say that, it means that it's just not as easy to go back in the same way we left. So now we have to take to this process of purification for us to go back. So in that sense, it looks like it's like we're banished, because someone who's banished from a space, for them to go back takes a lot of effort and a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, much harder than it was when they actually left at the beginning. So our curiosity to come to the material world, in that sense, can be seen as us kind of being banished, because to go back means that we have to take through this whole purificatory process of Krishna consciousness in order to be able to go back. So that was the kind of analogy I had here. So just to add.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Also in the pastimes of Jai and Vijay, when they're cursed by the Kumaras, Prabhupada comments that they made an accidental offense to devotee, and he says that that's often why devotees fall. But it was like obviously the Lord's arrangement, and he said it was an accidental offense.
Okay. Jai, anything else? Anybody wants to? No? Okay, we'll finish there then. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol.